Dick.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of the program here on Tuesday morning. And phone lines are open for you at 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails are both open to you on the WBSM app. You can also use the app or WBSM.com to enter in our contest that we're running this week, in which we are giving away tickets to see Sarah Silverman at the Vets in Providence coming up next Thursday. And, The Vets is a great place to see stand-up comedy, but be aware that this is a phone-free event. You will not be allowed to have your cell phone in the theater while the show is going on. So you can either leave it in the car, or they're going to have you lock it up in a yonder pouch when you get inside, because they don't want to have anybody recording the show. So just keep that in mind if you enter to win a pair of tickets. If that's something, if you get anxiety and you can't not have your phone on you, then you probably don't want to enter to win. But you can also still get tickets at thevetsri.com. And we want to thank Stevie's Wine and Spirits for making this possible. They are the sponsor of all of our Tim's Tickets giveaways here on the morning show. And they make this one and all the other great concerts and stand-up shows and everything else that we do, they make it happen. So make sure you stop by Stevie's Wine and Spirits at 115 Huddleston Avenue and try something, whether you're doing dry January and you need a what is going on? This guy he just lit a fire behind the honey wagon here. What is happening? I think he's trying to heat up the connection to get this stuff to flow into the truck. I don't know, but man, there's literal flames. He lit a torch, and now this thing is on fire. Well, the truck's not on fire, but the torch is. Yeah, he's banging on something. This is making me nervous. He obviously knows what he's doing. But, okay. I mean, luckily the stuff inside there is inflammable. Okay, it's out. All right. Anyway, that just took me off track for a little bit. But yeah, try Stevie's. If you're doing dry January, they have great mocktails over there too. All right. Moving on. We were talking about the police chief, Paul Oliveira's decision to close down Morna Lounge and Grill, utilizing powers that are given to him by the Massachusetts General Law when there's a threat to the public safety. So we don't even have to wait for it to get to the licensing board, although there will be a more in-depth hearing, I'm sure, for the licensing board when that can happen. But this closure is listed as until further notice. And that further notice could be a while if they're going to wait for the board to be able to get together, because as far as we know right now, there's only one member of the licensing board. They need two to have a quorum. So we'll keep an eye on that situation as well. I have an email into the city to find out the status of the temporary member and what the plan is going forward for that. And we'll let you know when we know. We also have the story on WBSM.com and on the app about the closure. And you can read in there the comments from Ward 2 Councilor Maria Giesta. I know, and I talked about this in the first hour, but I'll reiterate it. You know, yesterday we said, Chris was saying, rather, that, you know, we didn't hear from Ward 2 Counselor Maria Giesta about this murder, this homicide that happened. You have to call it a homicide because he hasn't been convicted of murder yet. But this alleged murder that happened in Ward 2, in her ward. And as I was saying in the first hour, now, Counselor Giesta is fully capable of putting out her own statement. She can put something on her social media. She's put statements out through the city council office before in regards to the way that people were talking about her online and in the media. So she could have done the same in this situation. But just in terms of why there wasn't a quote from her, a statement from her in our story at WBSM.com over the weekend was because I didn't reach out to her. I was not, you know, quote unquote, working. I just got that story up quickly. And then later on, I happened to see Mayor Mitchell had put up a statement on his Facebook page. I'm able on my cell phone to go into a story and make small edits. You know, it's not conducive to doing large scale writing. I've tried. I had to go to a show once at the Zeiterion and was meeting my dad. We were going to see George Thorogood. And there was a stabbing in the city. And I waited for information to come back from the police. And sure enough, the information came back as we were walking into the Z. So I'm sitting there on my phone, you know, trying to write and publish the story. It's not conducive to that. So I just kind of left the story alone at that point and got it out and was able to just kind of add Mayor Mitchell's paragraph into there. But I did reach out to her yesterday. Upon the news that the Morning Lounge has been closed down, and got a statement from her regarding that. And I will just give that to you here on the air now. It's brief. She said, I want to thank the New Bedford Police Department and all law enforcement agencies involved for their swift action in apprehending the suspect responsible for the recent shooting at Morning Lounge. Their collaborative efforts across city lines were instrumental in ensuring this arrest. I support Police Chief Paul Oliveira's decision to close Morning Lounge in light of the numerous incidents regarding police intervention. This action underscores our commitment to the safety and well-being of Ward 2 residents and the city of New Bedford. Thank you and God bless all law enforcement officials for their dedication to protecting our community. So, and the conversation we were having with one of the callers in the last hour is, yes, you want to hear from the ward counselor when something happens, but is that her responsibility? You know, the policing of these bars and what goes on within them. I mean, I may be wrong in this, but when there was a series of incidents happening on the County Street bar, at the County Street bars, I think, forgive me if I'm wrong, but would that be Ryan Pereira's ward, or is that getting into Joe Lopes' ward now? Well, I mean, I guess at that time it would have been Scott. It wouldn't have been Joe. But are we looking, you know, was anybody calling them out and saying, why aren't we hearing from the counselor about these incidents that are happening at these bars? When police were down there all the time for different incidents? Or is that just, is it just another thing to try to beat up on Maria Giesta about? Because I will say, you know, I've had conversations with her. I did a whole story about the parking enforcement. And not just, you know, making sure that residents have a parking space and that commercial vehicles are off the street, which is a huge problem down there. I mean, just go down some of those streets. People are parking buses and tow trucks on the side streets off of Cushion Avenue, taking up 2, 3, 4 parking spaces. Somebody had a camper out there all summer on a side street. Every time I drove by, it was there. And so there's, you know, it's not just that issue. It's also the fact that people are blocking crosswalks. People are blocking fire hydrants. That's what the story was about. It was when somebody smashed in, you know, the fire department rather, had to smash somebody's windows because they were parked in front of a hydrant. So I know that she has a good working relationship with the police department. She's talking to the police about the various issues in the ward. I'm sure this is something that has come up as a discussion. But when you're also dealing with the area of the city that has a known gang presence, that's what you're dealing with. And I'm sure that that's not an easy thing to contend with for the owner of Morna Lounge either. You just want to operate a place where people come out and have fun. And again, it's a restaurant during the day. I've had some very good food from there. They deliver on the food delivery apps. And I was going through one day looking for something different. And I was like, oh, I've never tried that. I actually went and did a pickup. And I thought it was, you know, nice that when I got there, they met me. I didn't even go inside. They brought the food out to me. But I think that, you know, you've got a responsibility that when you decide to be an entertainment venue at night, a place where people can come out and drink and dance and hang out, you got to know your surroundings and in your area and your neighborhood. And if that's the case, you've got to beef up the security. And I'm sure if they do have an opportunity to reopen, and honestly, I don't know that they will, considering the amount of issues that they've had there. But if they are allowed to reopen, they're going to have a serious change in the security policies. I don't know if the things that they put into place after the 2022 stabbing were still in place, or if they got, you know, kind of lax about that because they were still having incidents. But they're going to have to put in a plan unlike any they have before if they're going to get the opportunity to reopen. And I don't think they will. It sounds like from the discussions of the statements of Maria Giesta and Chief Oliveira, Mayor Mitchell, and I'm sure he'll talk more about this with Chris tomorrow, but it sounds like they've had it. They've had it with this location, and that's a lot. That's a lot of incidents of violence for one bar, for one lounge. You know, this isn't the 80s anymore. We don't want to have places that have a rep. Oh, don't go down there. Don't go hang out at that place. We don't want that anymore. And a business owner doesn't want that anymore. I don't think a place that's open and serving food all day long and throughout the week wants to have people afraid to be able to go in and eat. But again, we'll see where it goes because, you know, they're closed now, but how long will that closure last, and will it last until the licensing board can meet? And in that case, you need a licensing board to be able to meet. I'd also be interested in getting the take of, you know, some of you I know are property owners and have apartments that you rent out, whether it be, you know, one or two, or whether it be, you know, you own multiple buildings. And Governor Healey has announced a plan that would shift the broker fees that are being charged to find people to rent those apartments from the renters to the landlords. Well, the plan is to shift the responsibility of paying the fees for the broker to whoever hired the broker, which most of the time is the landlord, because they don't want to deal with taking the applications and running the credit checks and doing all of the legwork involved in filtering out who they want to rent to. So they bring in these brokers that handle it, but then charge a fee that gets turned over to the renter, which can be significant fees that add into the cost of what it takes to move in. Whereas, you know, the opponents of Governor Healey's suggestion here, say, well, that's just going to get passed on to the renter anyway. But now, instead of it being a one-time thing, the landlord will try to work it into the rent, and then the rent just stays that price. So it's actually going to cost the renter more money long term. 508-996-0500. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, Tim. I'm sorry I'm calling back because I know we're only allowed one call. But I forget to ask you, you're talking about the licensing board. Can you try to explain? I'll hang up. Can you try to explain more about, because they're talking how they don't have enough people. So, how does that work? And, how do people get on that licensing board? So, I'll hang up if maybe you can explain that a little bit.
Sure, sure. But I will say Chris McCarthy knows the ins and outs more. I'll give you the thumbnail sketch that I can, but definitely call Chris and ask him. He can give you more details.
All right, thank you.
Yep. All right. Yeah, but definitely, yeah, Chris can get more in depth with it because he's been following along with it. But basically, the mayor will appoint somebody to the licensing board, and the city council has to approve that person to be on the licensing board. And they've had an issue with being able to get people appointed onto the board. So right now, a three-person board only has one approved member on it. And it had a temporary member in, former longtime member Nick Nanopoulos. And now they were trying to, we're trying to find out what the status of his tenure is there, because it was a 60-day appointment to try to, just be able to handle some of the issues that were coming aboard while they were able to. Because, new businesses are trying to open. New restaurants are trying to open. People are trying to transfer liquor licenses. Look at the new, Candela Cucina, if I'm saying that correctly. I don't speak Italian. But sounds like I was right. But the when you've got a new business opening or one business taking over for another, you need the licensing board to approve those transfers and things like that. So they need people that can do that. But there's been hangups with the council approving who the mayor has nominated. And like I said, Chris can get you into all the politics of it, because he's been following it along and he's been talking to people behind the scenes. But the general problem is they need more members and they don't have enough members approved. So right now the only member is Ricardo Zendes, formerly of the New Bedford Police Department, which that's who they want to have on this board. That's who the mayor wants to have on the board, is law enforcement. And I think you're going to see, more nominations come forward and more battles with the council to try to get them approved. But like I said, Chris can give you more of the politics of it all. 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments.
They put up a bowling alley on the site that used to be the local party. That's where the big band used to come and play. My sister went there on a Saturday, come dancing. All her boyfriends used to come and call. Why not come dancing? It's only natural.
Well, Ray Davies, they put a supermarket where my bowling alley used to be. So, I feel you on that. They put a bowling alley where your parley was, but they put a supermarket where my bowling alley was. So, I feel you on that. But I'm not going to come dancing just because I don't really dance. So first of all, let me just say apologies. It's my fault. Between the focused and the other inbox, if I don't have it on the right inbox, I don't always see all the emails in the morning. Jonathan Darling, the spokesperson for the city, sent me an email late last night / early this morning verifying that, yes, Nick Nanopoulos' term is over on the licensing board. And he said they're going to have a new member candidate submitted to the city council this week. So, of course, the council is still organizing for the year, but hopefully the first appointments and briefings meeting, they can get this moving so that they can start having the necessary hearings in place to decide what they're going to do in this situation on a permanent basis. Whether that be allowing Morning Lounge to reopen, but with certain restrictions, or whether it be we're revoking their liquor license altogether. But I think both of those possibilities are on the table. I'm just going to say I'm leaning toward it's probably going to be the latter, just based on the amount of incidents that have happened. But we can talk more about that coming up. Plus, we've got some other things that we will discuss. Right now, though, it is time to get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
High winds making a tough situation worse in Los Angeles. Amazon ending a popular program. And who's performing at Trump's inauguration?
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Strong winds expected to return to Southern California, threatening to reignite wildfires that have already devastated the region. The National Weather Service has issued red flag warnings for severe fire danger, with high winds expected to persist through Wednesday. Firefighters are bracing for the potential for new blazes and are working to contain existing fires, including the Palisades Fire, which is currently about 14% contained. The IRS is distributing nearly $2.4 billion to taxpayers who missed out on COVID-19 stimulus payments. Approximately 1 million eligible individuals will receive automatic payments of up to $1,400 by the end of January. The payments are for those who filed a 2021 tax return but failed to claim the recovery rebate credit. Eligible taxpayers will receive letters from the IRS notifying them of the payment. No further action is required from recipients. A company linked to Alex Jones has submitted a new offer of over $7 million to buy his InfoWars platform, significantly higher than its previous bid. This comes after a judge voided the prior sale to The Onion. The trustee overseeing Jones' bankruptcy will now evaluate the new offer and determine the next steps in the sales process. The sale of InfoWars is part of Jones' bankruptcy proceedings, stemming from defamation lawsuits filed by families of victims of the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. Proceeds from the sale will go toward compensating families and other creditors. Amazon is discontinuing its Try Before You Buy program for Prime members effective January 31st. The service allowed customers to order up to 6 clothing items and try them on at home before making a purchase. Amazon cites the limited reach of the program and the growing use of AI-powered sizing recommendations as reasons for its decision. While Try Before You Buy is ending, Prime members will still enjoy free returns on all apparel purchases. A new study finds a higher lifetime risk of dementia than previously thought, with nearly half of people over 55 potentially developing the condition if they live long enough. The research, published in Nature Medicine, estimates that dementia will affect about 1 million Americans annually by 2060. While age is the biggest risk factor, the study emphasizes the importance of midlife health. Controlling high blood pressure, diabetes, and cholesterol, along with maintaining a healthy lifestyle, can significantly reduce the risk of developing dementia. The study also highlights the importance of social and cognitive engagement throughout life. The research underscores the need for continued efforts in brain health research and public health initiatives aimed at preventing and delaying the onset of dementia. Starbucks is reversing its open door policy, now requiring customers to make a purchase before using restrooms or lingering in cafes. The new code of conduct also prohibits disruptive behavior like drug use and panhandling. The shift comes after years of struggling with unruly behavior in some stores, despite a 2018 policy change aimed at welcoming all customers. And country music star Carrie Underwood will perform America the Beautiful at Donald Trump's inauguration next week, and the 1970s hitmakers Village People will perform at 2 inaugural events. Underwood, who launched her career on American Idol, is to perform shortly before Trump takes the oath of office at the U.S. Capitol on January 20th.
WBSM Sports.
The Boston Bruins home to play the Tampa Bay Lightning game tonight at 7, and the Boston Celtics in Toronto to play the Raptors on Wednesday.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Partly cloudy today on the South Coast, becoming windy with a high of 32 degrees. On Wednesday, sunny and breezy again, a high of 29 degrees. On Thursday, mostly sunny and a high of 30. Warming up as we get toward the weekend, sunny and a high of 37 on Friday. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
I can smell the chemicals too, Thomas Dolby. And it's blinding me a little bit. But the honey wagon is loading up. It's the grease trap, by the way. Just, I don't want anybody to think I'm dealing with septic, but it basically smells the same. Anyway, 508-996-0500. There was a video that I saw that went around on TikTok where somebody was saying, oh, yeah, well, you know, did you know that this 1980s pop star is the reason why we have surround sound today? And trying to say that, you know, Thomas Dolby is actually the inventor of Dolby sound and Dolby surround sound. And that's not true at all. His name is Thomas Robertson. But there was another singer named Tom Robertson at the time, and everybody used to call him Dolby. That was his nickname because he was always messing around with the electronics and the tapes and the processors and everything. So they called him Dolby. So he just used the stage name Thomas Dolby. Dolby was already well in existence when Thomas Dolby came around. So no, he did not invent surround sound. But sometimes I don't know if those TikToks and things like that are serious or if, like, it's tongue-in-cheek and meant to go viral with people saying that that's not true, but the guy seemed pretty sure of himself in the way he was telling the story. 508-996-0500 if you want to join in the discussion. We're talking about the Morna Lounge closure. We're talking about the problems that they've had there, as well as some other topics as well. And I had mentioned that Councillor Maria Giesta, the Ward 2 counselor, has a good working relationship with the police, as far as I know. But I was talking about the issues that she was trying to address with the parking in Ward 2 on the side streets. And Joey says, nothing has been done in Ward 2 pertaining to parking. I live on Tinkham Street, and every night there are business trucks parked on the sidewalk, etc. Well, what I can tell you, and this is just based on my conversation with Councillor Giesta about this, is that when that happens, if you want to be the person that's, you know, reporting it, that you take some photos of that and send that to her, she can pass it on to the police, or you can, you know, contact the police yourself. But I would recommend sending it to her and tell them what times this happens. So then the police know when to go by and see them and ticket them. The problem is when the police come through to enforce some of these issues, they don't see the issues happening. So there's times when you want to, if there's times that you see this happening on a frequent basis, you want to let them know about that so they know when to come by so they can catch somebody and ticket them. Now, catching them and ticketing them doesn't mean they're going to stop doing it, but you hope that eventually they will. There was a time when there was one business that was parking four or five business trucks every night across from my friend's house, which is across from Earl Street. I don't know what the next street up is. Maybe it's Tinkham Street. But I have a friend that lives over there and would send me photos of all the trucks parked out there. And I was like, I don't know what to tell you. That's how I know too that camper was there all the time. When I would drive by, I would see it, and this person would tell me, yep, still there. And I made the same assumption that other people did. Well, somebody's living in it. But no, somebody would take it, and they would use it on the weekends, and then the rest of the week, they would leave it parked on the side of the road. So, yeah, parking is a serious issue up that way, and there are places where people can park that aren't being utilized. You know, why does St. Killian's get to keep a big empty parking lot there? I mean, I know why, because they own the property. They can do what they want with it. But why aren't they leasing that out to the city for some off-street parking, since it's just sitting there anyway? They're obviously never going to reopen the church. So there's little things like that. You know, if you remember, the whole Phillips Avenue school thing came about because the residents were using it as a parking lot, and they still do. And then when snow comes, the city tells people, well, that's a place where you can park for off-street parking, but there's already people that use that as their regular spot every night. It's always filled. Anyway. 508-996-0500. We also got an app chat message from DSY who says, I used to like Carrie Underwood. And I've seen a lot of people who have been putting up negative comments about Carrie Underwood, negative comments about the Village People, because they'll be performing at Donald Trump's inauguration next week. But I think if you get asked to perform at a presidential inauguration, no matter what your politics are, your political beliefs, that's a pretty big honor. I don't know that you would turn that down. I mean, I'm sure some people would, but I think if your stance, and certainly country artists' stance, are that they are pro-America, not necessarily political, but pro-America, if that's what your stance is, then when you are asked to perform at a presidential inauguration, you do it. This wasn't a matter of her asking them, hey, can I come and perform at the inauguration? They must have reached out to her. But I did see a funny comment. I hope she performs when he cheats. It's like, okay, that's kind of funny. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, you were talking about parking spots and all that, and to call the police or something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I called the police a few times, and I've watched the police do on the corner of Bates Street and the Kushner Avenue, right in front of New Bedford Sports Club. There's a sign that says there's no parking from here to corner.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always parking on the corner. And when you're coming up Bates Street, you can't see the cars coming north on the Kushner Avenue. You got to stick way out and look, and hopefully nobody hits you. And I've called the police a few times. And I've watched a couple of them go there, go inside, come back out, and the cars are still there. And these police officers don't do nothing.
Well, the thing is they don't tow the vehicles, they ticket the vehicles. So
I totally agree with you. But they don't even ticket the cars, because I've watched it. I watched the car about three times, and they don't even ticket. And I told one of the officers one time, and he says, well, I got another call, I got to go.
Well, I was parked on a side street in the near north end, and I got a ticket for parking within 5 feet of a driveway, but all the parking spaces were within 5 feet of a driveway.
Well, I got one of those also myself, but my issue is you're coming up Bates Street, and you can't even see the cars coming north.
On
the Kushner Avenue.
You know, I think it's an even bigger problem than that. I think it's pretty much every intersection. I see cars that are way too close to the edge, way too close. I mean, there's no visibility at all coming out of those side streets.
Yeah, I've noticed other cars too. But the only one I've complained about is the one on Beach Street and the Christian Avenue. And I've watched a couple of police officers, and they don't do nothing sometimes. That's just my thought.
Thank you for letting us know. They've got to get harder about it, that's for sure.
Yes, and I appreciate if they are listening and they can do something about it.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Thank you. All right.
And I mean, that's the thing is, you know, they don't really usually have the time to go out. But if they have the time to go out, as they did, obviously, as that caller said, they were there. Why not just give them the ticket? Maybe getting that ticket makes the person think twice about it a second time. I mean, go down one of these roads and I guarantee you. There are cars that never move. There are cars that are broken down. In some cases, don't have registrations. Don't have active registrations. Sometimes don't even have a plate on them. Parked on the side of the road. And who gets the ticket? The person that just parks there that has an expired inspection sticker. They get the $50 ticket because they can. But yet there's cars that never move. There's buses that are parked on the side of the road and tow trucks and work vehicles. Okay. It's a frustrating thing for the people that live there and can't find a place to park. And it's not just there either. The same thing happens in the South End as well. I'm just using the North End as an example because we were talking about Councilor Giesta and the work she's tried to do to get some of that stuff fixed. 508-996-0500. Let me take one more call before I got to take a break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Boy, you do it all the time, Tim.
What's that?
Gilly Saffiola. You're going to take one more call.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's all right. I'm happy to take your call and hold off the break a little bit longer.
Okay, then. And I'm not going to pick on anybody. I'm going to pick on the city. Okay? You're talking about working people that park their cars in front of their houses, and even if it's like tow trucks or something. But what do you do? And I have pictures. I like to come by and show you the pictures I have. Okay? I got pictures on Elm Street where they have parked, the city uses heavy duty equipment. There was a grader parked there. You know what he, and it was facing west, and I was going east. From Pleasant Street all the way down to the Standard Times building, there was a grader parked there over the weekend, because they, with a little orange comb, I took out, I got pictures. I showed Ian Ebu. I showed Leo Chiquette. I showed everybody. Why is the city not putting their vehicles back on the thing? They're allowed to do it, but everybody wants to nail the people that pay taxes.
So, I'll say this. First of all, like, that area is not heavy residential, and they do have the parking garage over there where people can park as well. So that's not as egregious as it happening in the neighborhoods. But however, well, you know, your point is taken, because they also leave them in the neighborhoods as well. If they're doing work in the neighborhoods, they'll leave them parked on the side of the road.
But if the law is you have to take them off, they should be able to take them back to the yard, because it's just dangerous. The people had to walk from the Standard Times building all the way up to Pleasant Street in the street, because the sidewalks are all dug up and everything. You should see the pictures. I can't send them because I'm not like Carlos Felix, where he can send everything all around. I can't do that with my phone. I'm a dinosaur, I could say. But I like them, but I just show you the pictures.
No, I mean, I don't need to see it. I've seen it myself with my own eyes. I know what you're talking about.
Well, don't pick on the people that pay taxes. Pick on everybody in the city. That's a dangerous thing. Who's going to be responsible?
Yeah, but just because the city does it with a couple of vehicles here and there doesn't mean that it's okay for every business owner that does it with their commercial vehicles on all these side streets. There's an ordinance against it.
Oh, so some can do it and some can't.
No, nobody can. But I'm just saying that's not as big of an issue as what's happening in the neighborhoods.
Nobody can do it. Listen, Tim, you don't listen to yourself. Okay, just listen to me a second. What you're saying is, it's not such a big deal, but they're not supposed to do it. But you're going to let somebody get by with it. You know, and there's other things that I can talk about, but I don't want to pick on anybody.
Well, I'm saying that's not as big of a contributor to the parking problem, is probably a better way to phrase it.
It's still a problem.
And I'm not denying that. I'm not denying that at all. I'm just saying that's not what the heart of the issue is. The heart of the issue is people who are doing this on a nightly basis with no regard for the other residents that need a place to park.
Boy, Tim, it's amazing. I should show you the pictures. I'd like you to see the pictures. They did it on Great Street and everything. We're all working out.
No, I've seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen it happen on the residential roads. I've seen it happen on the commercial roads. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, then. So if the taxpayers and the people trying to make a living are told we're going to ticket you, and they go out there and ticket them, they should do the same
right.
thing.
And I'm not disagreeing with that.
Okay. So it's dangerous to have a grader with a little cone. And you can see me. I took the pictures and I showed all those. But nobody's talking about the city doing it.
Well, this is really just me talking about Councillor Giesta and the relationship she has with the police department. And that was the example that I used. So that's how we got on this topic. If we were talking about parking issues across the city on a more macro level, yeah, we'd definitely be talking about that.
Boy, Tim, it's amazing. It's amazing. I can talk about what you're talking right now.
What's amazing is that you can't follow the logic of what I'm saying.
Oh, I follow it. I follow it. But I'm telling you, you're telling me that some people can do it and other ones can't. That's what you're telling me.
That's not what I'm telling you at all.
Yes, you
That's what you're hearing because that's what you think that I'm saying.
So when some people can think, they can say things and think of that. Do you really want me to bring up something?
No, I'm telling you, I'm agreeing with you that it's not right. You're not hearing me. I'm agreeing with you, but that's not the topic at hand. If that had been the topic at hand, I would have brought that up. You're saying that nobody's bringing that up. It's not what the focal point is of what the discussion was. We were talking about Ward 2 and Maria Giesta's relationship with the police. If we were talking about parking issues across the city, you better believe I would have said, and how many times have they left the graders out there? And how many times have they left the street sweepers out there? And how many times have they put barrels and cones out because they're going to be doing work on a street, but then they don't get there for 2 or 3 days and nobody can park there because the cones are there? Those are all issues, and I agree with that. It's just not the basis of what we were discussing.
Okay, then let me bring something up about parking.
I got to take a break because I'm up against it here.
Okay, real quick, let me bring up. You know what I find funny? You guys brought up the other day about residents parking in Ward 2. Okay, your radio station brought that up. Why is it they can't get residents parking, but down the south end where you know what I'm talking about? By the water, all Ward 6, they get residents parking down. Why do they get it? Are they better? They pay, you know what I mean? Don't everybody pay taxes through the whole city? Why can they have residents parking? Is it because businesses? You know what I mean?
Hey, I agree with you. Where there's parking issues in Ward 2 and in other places where it's tight, there should also be spaces that are designated residence parking. I totally agree.
Thank you for agreeing with me on that.
All right. I got to hold you there, though. I got to take this break.
Just have fun.
Take it easy. I'm going to see if I can combine these two breaks into one, but we've got to take it. We'll be back in just a few moments. All right, we are going to be going into the news in just a moment. A reminder, tomorrow we'll be joined by Corinne Williams of the CEDC. She's going to join us to talk about and answer all your questions about the Capitol Theater Project. So you've heard a lot of things that have been said about that project here on the radio. She's going to be here to talk with us about it in depth and give us answers to the questions that you may have. So make sure that you get ready to call those. And as they're doing a great job renovating that building, the exterior of it's starting to look really nice. I saw some folks the other night out there at night doing some work outside. But it makes me think about the things that you can do to your home. And one of the things you can do to your home is to add solar panels. But what if you could do it for free? Right now, Isaacson Solar is giving away a free solar system to one lucky South Coast homeowner. This is even better than winning a car, winning a trip. We're talking about something that could be the equivalent of winning over $100,000 or more in free electricity over the next 25 years. Imagine having that money in your pocket all because you entered to win a free solar system at IsaacsonSolar.com. So go there right now. It's between now and January 31st that you can enter. And then they're going to draw the grand prize winner on Fun 107's new MGM Morning Show. And we'll, of course, get that winner as soon as they draw it. They'll come over here and tell me who it is as well. But you can enter to win right now at IsaacsonSolar.com, ISaacsonSolar.com.